What you are about to hear is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual podcasters with a case both for and against a recent wrestling pay-per-view. Both parties have agreed to have their arguments heard here, on Viewer's Choice, with Marcus and Tim.
Well, you heard the man. Welcome to Viewer's Choice here on the North-South Connection. Glad to have you with us in the early hangover stages of WrestleMania Backlash.
That's right. Did you know this was the first event to have the WrestleMania title in it that wasn't WrestleMania?
Understood. Thanks, Adnan Virk. Either Adnan Virk today was either yelling at me for no reason or giving me information that I already knew.
But I want him to do well.
I want him to do well too, but I can want in one hand and defecate in the other, and I will know which one fills up first. I'm Tim.
And I am Marcus.
We're coming to you live back from the Thunderdome in the Yuengling Center in Somewhereville, Florida. Is it Tampa? Are they in Tampa? I don't.
Pretty sure it's Tampa still.
It's Tampa. Can I get credit for knowing it's the Yuengling Center?
Yeah. Yeah. Site of Royal Rumble 1995.
Really?
Yeah. But they did some renovations, so it doesn't look quite the same. But yeah, that's the Tampa Sundome.
They put the giant LED boards around 7/8 of the arena. That's the renovation they did.
Yeah.
Let's take a second, and because you brought up Royal Rumbles and you're talking about arenas, really quickly, I want to dunk on the Arco Arena. I know you're always down to dunk on the Arco Arena.
Tiny little
rinky dink Mickey Mouse.
It's like a roller skinkery.
It's like a bootleg Barnum and Bailey circus. Like, and it's not even the Universe Soul Circus, because that's cool. But like, this is a step, like the Arco Arena houses the step up from the petting zoo at the state fair.
Yeah. It's like the traveling big top circus.
It's like the medium top circus.
Medium top. It's so just underwhelming. And then they're like, oh, we got this brand new arena, the Arco Arena in like middle of nowhere, Sacramento.
Which is the capital of California.
Sure.
It is. Sacramento.
But they got that new arena now in Sacramento.
But will the ramp be 4 inches from the ring? That is the real question.
Probably.
Yes.
Because was it Judgment Day? Speaking of May pay-per-views, I think Judgment Day 01 was at the Arco Arena, and that's another one. It's got like a three-step aisle.
I gotta take a look at it again. We ought to do like a deep dive at all of the events at specific arenas. There we go.
Geniusin, baby.
That's it, baby. We did the geniusin. If it is your first time here at Viewer's Choice on the North South Connection, we take live reactions on what we watched on whether it's Peacock or the BR Live app, or that's the only two ways we can watch pay-per-views now for AEW, WWE, and NXT pay-per-views.
Legally.
We don't do that. I don't.
I'm up and up around here.
Yeah, we're above board, as they like to say, in some parts.
And whenever that VC stimmy wants to hit, from the North-South Connection.
You know, whenever President JT wants to sign over a stimmy, we'd be good. How about a press credential? Can we get press credentials? I can just walk in wherever I want to go, because that'd be really sweet. What if we could get double credentials from both networks? T- two credential Jones and going in, walking around like Paul Heyman in ECW, where he's got multiple lanyards going on. It's like, one of these will get me in. Promise. I'm on the list. Which one?
Don't you run the place?
No, I have to have these. I need the credentials. Yes, you have to have an all-access pass to be where the all-access is. That's a very radio station thing. I had so many all-access passes, and what does it mean? Some graphics dude at the radio station wasted money to put my name on a graphic.
Laminated.
Cool. Laminated, yes. But we watch the pay-per-view, so you may not have to, and we give you the choice to, based on our recommendations, go back and maybe skip some things, watch some things, maybe rewatch some things. This isn't necessarily meant to be a full recap, because hopefully if you're listening to this, one, you watched it and you want to see if we think what you think, or two, you didn't watch it and you just want to get caught up in like 30 minutes or less. And we're here for you. So quickly, the most we're going to run down is the card from top to bottom. We don't do pre-shows. JT, don't pay us for that. We start with the Raw Women's Championship. Rhea Ripley successfully defends against Asuka and Charlotte Flair. For the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, new champions, Dominik and Rey Mysterio defeat the Dirty Dogs.
The Cool Dads.
Of Dolph Ziggler and full-grown Finn Balor. More on that later. In a lumberjack match, question mark, it was Damian Priest beating The Miz. In a singles match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Bianca Belair defeats, I almost called her Pam, defeats Bayley. Triple threat for the WWE Championship, the almighty WWE Champion, Bobby Lashley retains over Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. And in our main event of the evening, the head of the table, the end-all be-all, Mr. The Ooh-Ah Man. The modern-day Maharaja. The modern-day Mookie Blaylock.
No.
The modern-day Mahi.
He gets Mr. Smash him, stack him, pin him.
Mr. Smash him, stack him, pin him. Mr. Show up and win. Mr. Acknowledge Me. Roman Reigns. Classic with our man Cesaro. And I feel like we should start there. Match of the night will be a match of the year candidate. Going forward, fantastic storytelling. Again, like every time Roman Reigns is defending the championship on pay-per-view, I feel as though we get another chink knocked out of the armor.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, and even if it was on purpose or accidental, Cesaro slipping out of the guillotine.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's the first time they found a way back in. But, like, that is foreshadowing for sure. So
This felt like, for any UFC historians, this felt like the Shane Carwin-Brock Lesnar fight.
Yes.
Where it's like, okay, Brock's unbeatable, but Shane Carwin might have what it takes. And he's got what it takes for, like, a round. And then Brock gets it together.
Right. Like, but Shane Carwin, Shane Carwin puts that work in on the first 5 minutes and like beats Brock into the ground. And then that's where we get the death clutch, the arm triangle submission on Shane Carwin. So a fantastic match from Roman Reigns and Cesaro. Goes almost 30 minutes. Very enjoyable. I think this is one of like Cesaro's rare main events in WWE, whether it's television or pay-per-view. Obviously, if you didn't listen to it on commentary, this is his first championship singles match ever. First match for the title ever.
Mm-hmm.
Very refreshing to see Cesaro in that spot. And it really also gives credence to like Roman Reigns being that dude.
Somehow Roman Reigns, look at him. Like, the man is unbeatable. The man is unstoppable. The man is a true monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going out there and I feel like we say it after every Roman match. Like, it's another five-star match. Like, it is another match of the year candidate. And he's not just going out there and having these exciting 5-6 minute sprints like you would expect somebody like him to have, right? Because he has the Brock Lesnar look now, right? Like, he right. just looks insane. But that's not what he's going out there doing. He is going out there and he is putting on these amazing matches. And I think the beauty of it all was, we talked about it, the guillotine. He has added that into the arsenal. We know the spear is there. We know the Superman punch is there. But there is this feeling of dread when he locks in the guillotine. And it takes, like, that move is keeping him as hot of a heel as he is, because right. it takes the excitement out of the finish. Now, it's not to say that it ruins the match, the whole thing's not exciting, but, like, don't really pop for the guillotine. It's like, oh man, he got it in, crap.
Right. And it's the avoidance of the guillotine.
Yes.
And what I enjoy about the guillotine is that Roman doesn't go for the guillotine early.
Yes.
It's very much like a wear down, wear down, wear down, wear down. No, I've got you deep. And I know that when I put it on you, I'm strong enough to hold it, and you're not strong enough to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is WWE is going with these not submission victories, but pass out victories.
Right.
Kudos to Cesaro for waking up mm-hmm. after the match. Now, granted, he got multiple receipts tonight.
Sure did.
After his match. I guess we can delve into those now, as, you know, after the match, Jey Uso, he coronates the Mr. Uaa with the red lei, and then he wants to pick up the big dog scraps. And of course, Roman obliges, and Jey puts the work in on Cesaro, and then the Burn It Down Man comes out. With the drip, I guess. I don't know what Seth Rollins is wearing most of the time. It looks god awful.
It's a choice.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Hope it works out for him. But it looks like we're setting up for Cesaro and Seth Rollins, possibly at Heck in a Sec.
Inside,
Heck in a Sec. If however, the modified Pillmanizing of Cesaro kind of leads me to believe this might be a longer injury. I mean, is the Pillmanizing 4 weeks of TV, or is it longer?
They said 6 weeks, or I think 5 weeks is the next pay-per-view for WWE.
June 20.
Yeah, so I think they said 5 weeks out.
Okay. So then 4 weeks sounds right, because 23rd, 30, and then 6, 13, 20. Yeah, so five Sundays from now, we get Heck in a Sec live from the Yuengling Center at the Thunderdome in the WWE Thunderdome of the Dome.
Of Thunder. And, but yeah, I expect Claudio to be back. Cesaro to be back. And
Claudio.
You know, get to swinging. And it feels, it was really good booking. Like, stumbling over my words here, but it was really good booking, because for a second I thought, are they going to do the moment of respect between Cesaro and between Roman?
Right.
And once again, they keep that heel heat on Roman
yes.
by having Jey Uso come out and Roman give up the scraps to Jey and watch. And that keeps the heel heat on Roman. And it keeps telling the story of what the Usos have going on with Roman. And it gets sympathy on Cesaro. And nobody comes out for the save. And then Seth Rollins. And then I texted it in the group chat. I said, how about we don't do Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, and we run back Cesaro versus Roman Reigns. And they kind of give us a preview. And then they pivot right back to Seth and to Cesaro. And while, yes, we'd love to see a rematch with Cesaro and Roman, we'd love to see Cesaro stay in the title picture moving forward, like, permanently, this is also a fantastic spot because once they, you know, commit to Cesaro being in top act, top main event spots, like, the oh, well, he hasn't done it excuse is gone. So moving forward, maybe when we're in October, maybe when we're in November, when there's an injury, when we need a fill-in or whatever, they're not going to be going back necessarily to, okay, well, let's just run Seth Rollins versus Roman, or let's just run, you know, give Daniel Bryan a call back.
Like, what's Kevin Owens doing?
Right. Now Cesaro is in that conversation. And Cesaro is somebody who has now proven that he can do it, which I don't think anybody had a doubt.
Not a shadow of one.
But, like, we've seen it with our eyes, and they've seen it with their eyes. Correct. And so it's been proven. And so now he's in that spot, and I think it's a fantastic place moving forward for Cesaro. I look forward to see what's next.
As do I. And I don't want to horribly change gears and sour the mood on the wonderful conversation we're having. But did you know that WWE WrestleMania Backlash was brought to you by Wes Craven's new movie, Army of the Dead, starring WWE legend Dave Bautista, coming live to theaters and Netflix?
I do now.
Okay. Did you also know that Dave Bautista wishes he could have been in the Thunderdome, but instead he sent some friends?
Mm-hmm.
Did you also know, sir, that the friends were actual effing zombies?
I did catch on to that.
And they were the lumberjacks for the Archer of the Infirmary, the Archer of Infamy, Damian Priest, and Mike the Miz.
So here's what I'll say about that.
Oh, one. For as much as I know you and how much you dislike zombies, I need you. I know you got a baby, their little baby girl downstairs, but I need you to get half hot about this, sir.
I do not care for zombies. But two, this fits into the category of, it was kind of so bad that they'll never do it again.
That's not a pass.
I don't know. Like, I just didn't, like, it was bad. I didn't find it to be like it was only 7 minutes.
I don't care. It was 7 minutes too much.
I didn't think it was egregious. And I if mean, nothing else, it's a big spot again for Damian Priest,
who shot a bow and arrow, a fake bow and arrow into the sky.
They got to get him a real bow and arrow
to display the name of the movie Army of the Dead after the match. Meanwhile, now here's where I'm real hot. I already, like, I separate my fandoms in very different ways. Like, I do like the Walking Dead stuff, and shout out to Corey Graves for throwing in some homage to The Walking Dead, asking where Terminus was and stuff like that. But I know that wrestling is closer to real life than The Walking Dead is closer to real life. I don't think a zombie in the WWE is going to actually eat someone. And they actually ate two people on TV, pay-per-view. This is borderline Extreme Rules, horror show at Extreme Rules stuff.
Oh, wow.
This is bad.
Oh, wow. I didn't think it was that bad.
Marcus, this is almost as bad as Rey Mysterio getting his eye plucked out. This is almost as bad. Yes.
I didn't think so. I'm not saying I liked it. I'm just like, okay, it's 7 minutes. I understand what they're doing. It's, you know.
I get that they're okay. I get that they're putting the movie over. I get it. And, like, shout outs to Dave Bautista for doing a fantastic intro to the pay-per-view, interweaving scenes from the movie and angles from the show all together. Like, it was woven really nicely. It was good to hear Batista's voice. Can't wait till you get into the hall, Big Daddy.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
So, Damian Priest's, you know, gimmick, besides just being nightclub vampire.
He lives forever.
He lives forever. So yeah. Why is he afraid to get eaten?
Because they also live forever and there can only be one. It's like a Highlander situation. I don't know, man. Like, it's big weird. So obviously you can skip Damian Priest and The Miz unless you are a fan of wrestle crap. If you like the actively bad and the super campy, this is for you. Without question, this is for you.
Investors?
Possibly you.
Tim, I gotta tell you something I'm not invested in right now.
Okay, go ahead. What are you not invested in?
I'm not invested in Rhea Ripley's current run as WWE Raw Women's Champion.
And why is that?
We have real Charlotte at home.
I mean, what are you trying to say? Are you trying to Rhea Ripley and Charlotte look nothing alike? Rhea Ripley's got short hair. She wears dark colored, face makeup.
I get it.
She's got piercings. No. She has an alternative apparel lifestyle.
I get it. We got to make new stars, rocket ship new people. I get it. I get all of that. But Charlotte is still here and Charlotte is as good as ever. And I'm just not feeling it, man. I'm just not feeling it. I don't know what else until they start telling other stories with the women other than stories that revolve around the championship. I don't see why Charlotte doesn't have the title.
And unfortunately, they're never going to. It will always be that the WWE and like wrestling at large, for the most part, at least, I won't say all wrestling, I'll say mainstream wrestling, will struggle to utilize women completely equally to the men.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can recall one storyline in any of the major companies in which two females were pit against each other, not for the title, that had stakes.
If AEW hadn't just done Britt and Thunder Rosa, I'd agree with you.
But to me, like, I don't even know where their heat came from.
Right.
Like, they had a crazy match. It was a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they had a blood feud match for no blood feud.
Mm.
Like, it was like, oh, they're facing each other in a hardcore match. Or what was it? What was the actual? Was it a hardcore match? Or
I think maybe.
I don't remember what it was exactly. But, like, they faced each other and they had a banger and red equals green and.
Right. The point still stands that.
Where was the heat?
That oftentimes the women's storylines have to involve the title. And we have Charlotte. I'm very, very forthright. I think Charlotte is already the best female WWE performer there's ever been. I think she is the best WWE women performer that there ever will be. And I think the chemistry that her and Asuka have are unmatched by any other women in the history of the company. Because I think Asuka is right there with Charlotte. And if you want to say she's better, I wouldn't argue against that.
Right. My jury is still... I appreciate Charlotte for what she is. I appreciate Asuka and everything she does too. Like, I love Asuka. She's my favorite women's wrestler right now. Next to, like, it's Asuka and it's Bianca Belair, and that's, and then, like, kind of everybody else is to the wayside. They're all kind of equally lined up. And then there's, like, the far off corner with, like, those who shan't be named. But mm-hmm. As far as, like, Rhea, there's a, we mentioned it on Final Wrestling Place, but the spark of excitement we had for Rhea Ripley last WrestleMania and during her NXT run.
Yeah, the 2019 run.
This is not the same Rhea Ripley. Even though they're trying to tell us it's a better Rhea Ripley, I'm not sold. I am not impressed with her performance, as GSP used to say. I am not impressed with your performance.
And she's super young. She's going to have time. She's going
to
figure it out.
She does. And like, that's what we have to recall. But there's a difference between like being patient and knowing that there's time that's going to come, but also holding her accountable because she is in that spot. For example, and not to compare oranges and apples, but Dominic Mysterio, very young in wrestling, like even younger in wrestling than Rhea to a certain degree. Like, yes, Dominic has been around wrestling his entire life. There probably is some sort of genetic predisposition that, like, because Rey is great at this whole wrestling thing, so too must Dominic be a little bit. And then Dominic has to work. Like, Dominic can skirt by on natural gifts alone, and then like he has to put the work in to go equal what Rey does and surpass. But they're not cramming Dominic down our throat as a singles champion. Like, he was involved in like a storyline to protect his father's honor when his eye was
sisters.
Yeah. And then now
decisions.
Right, I guess. All gone by Buddy Murphy. I don't know.
Yeah, what happened to that?
I don't know. Is Buddy Murphy still with the company? I don't even remember.
He is still with the company.
Okay, good, good. I'm liking that idea. Maybe he could be the disciple for Ali Black, because he's never been a disciple for anyone before.
Where is the black man on this?
I don't know, but we're not talking about Aleister Black. We're talking about Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley.
Yes.
Dominic is finally a tag team champion, and he's with his father, and he's getting the opportunity to get in there and learn with some of the best in-ring guys you can learn from.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there with Dolph. He's in there with Bob Roode. He's in there with Chad Gable. He's mixing it up. Rey is obviously teaching him stuff. But like, Rhea, since coming back to WWE, has been with Asuka and Charlotte. And I don't feel that she has met or exceeded expectations in either of her WrestleMania match or her WrestleMania Backlash match.
Right. And to be fair as well, like, the expectations, at least for me, for Rhea are a lot higher than my expectations for Dom Mysterio.
But that's because Rhea Ripley is the equivalent of the WWE champion for women. And that's what you have to grade it upon.
Correct.
Dominic Mysterio is not the WWE world champion. Rhea Ripley is the WWE Raw Women's World Champion. There is none higher than she. Everyone else is underneath, with the exception of Bianca Belair, who is someone who comes from the same group as Rhea, but yet in her two showings, here against Bayley and at WrestleMania against Sasha Banks, Bianca carries herself, gives me more world champion vibes than Rhea. And I know that maybe the difference between face and heel, and might be the difference between super athletic, gifted EST character and like bruising nightmare character. But also, like, call a spade, Rhea's not been entertaining. I don't want to use,
she's
like
been overproduced. Yeah. And I feel like you can tell that she's constantly thinking about what she's supposed to be doing and has been reprogrammed from the 2019 natural instincts that we saw her have and the confidence that she moved with and worked with. But it kind of takes us, for me at least, that's a skip on the Raw triple threat match for women that opened the show. But that kind of leads us straight to Bianca and Bayley,
right,
who I think had the second best match of the night.
I do too.
It was fantastic.
Bailey is on another level right now. I think she's finally gotten it. This new refreshed character of hers. There was growing pains at first.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like fully gotten a hold of it and knows who she is in the ring. And it's really refreshing to see. I don't see the old Bailey anymore.
No.
At all.
And I don't see somebody trying to be a bad guy anymore, right? I see somebody who is who is a villain.
Right. She's very much a villain. Shout out to her Unforgiven poster t-shirt.
Yes.
And her
Stone Cold Arms.
Yes. When I saw her do the entrance, I was looking at her arms and I'm like, why does she got her fists out?
Like the Stone Cold Snake t-shirt.
Yeah. And then as soon as I saw somebody post that picture on social media, I don't remember who it was, but whoever it is, make him $1 million, make him work with a Noki. I was like, that's exactly what that is. And that's and Bailey's in this like spot where she's a villain, but she's like borderline Chris Jericho, like jerk, but also goofy.
Mm-hmm.
She's not afraid to like make fun or put herself in comical situations that she is the only person who thinks are serious. Yes. And that's what's great.
Yes. Like I felt, and this is a line that we hear in wrestling, don't be a chicken poop.
Yeah.
And a great wrestler.
Yes.
Either you're a great wrestler or a complete chicken poop until you have become great enough at either one of those. And then you can incorporate parts of the other, like a Ric Flair, like a Shawn Michaels, like a Bret Hart 97, like a Jericho. Once you master one, then you can incorporate the parts of the other. And I feel like Bailey definitely was trying to do both at the same time last year during her run.
Right.
And has really figured it out this year. Like tonight's match was phenomenal.
And like what I really enjoyed about the match was the use of Bianca's hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is a silver platter for anyone working with Bianca that has any sort of creativity. Like, okay, incorporate the hair. And they do the ripcord and then Bianca using it in the finish.
Yes.
And how Bailey might have a point, but also doesn't have a point.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not cheating.
Right. That's on her body, right?
Right. But it's like, just like with WrestleMania, she used it as a weapon with the lash.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gray area.
And it adds a nice, just a drop of gray to the Bianca Belair character that, hey, she's not necessarily wearing a white hat.
Right. And it also asks this. It's like, okay, so this is 2 times now in big stages at WrestleMania, .. that her hair has saved her from a losing effort. The tide immediately turned when she used the hair whip on Sasha. She ended up getting the pinfall with the hair lace on Bailey. If that doesn't come to a point where somebody tries to cut her hair off, that's...
Imagine the heat that angle would have.
Oh, they have to save it for live crowds. So we got to wait how many months? 2, 3? SummerSlam?
Yeah. SummerSlam.
Hair versus hair, Bailey. Bailey, cool. Bianca, hair versus hair. And Bailey has to shave it all off. She's already cut her hair.
I would just like to say respectfully that Bailey on last Friday's episode of SmackDown was...
Be respectful.
Height of powers.
Be respectful.
Height of powers.
Yes.
Leave it at that.
You know, some would like to call Tay Conti the face of women's wrestling.
As far as I'm concerned,
I might give that to Bailey.
Bailey's having quite the run right now.
Yes. So I think we've kind of hit the highs and the lows, and there's stuff in between. Top to bottom, really quick before we get out of here, I'm going to name the match. Skip or watch.
All right, let's do it.
Triple threat women's match to open the show.
Skip.
tag team titles.
I'll give it a watch.
Skip, and here's why. It takes me back to a time when Rey Mysterio is being called an underdog, but beats everybody. Rey Mysterio 2v1s the Dirty Dogs, and then his crippled son comes in here to win the titles. But that diving sunset flip bomb into the apron is full send, and I loved it. Yeah, Rey Mysterio is a god. Lumberjack match.
Unanimous skip.
I think we got it right during the pre-cap. if you don't know what the pre-cap is, listen to Final Wrestling Place. We'll tell you about it there. Obviously, Bianca and Bayley, that's a watch. That's a must-watch. Mm-hmm. Bob Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman for the WWE Championship.
Skip.
Unfortunately, that is a skip. I mean, the right thing happened, but I'm not necessarily enthralled with Braun Strowman in the world title scene.
Correct.
And then, of course, the Universal Championship match.
Must watch.
Must watch. If there's one thing you take away from this, it is Roman Reigns and Cesaro from it. SmackDown itself, height of powers. SmackDown's carrying the WWE flagship right now. Mm-hmm. All for the best. So, overall, the pay-per-view itself, is WrestleMania ... Backlash skip or watch?
Man.
If you had to on the whole, like, if you couldn't parse out the matches that you must watch, if you could not parse those out, is it worth watching the four matches we tell you to skip, or three or four matches we tell you to skip, to get to Bianca, Bayley, and Roman Cesaro?
I'm going to say yes.
I will say yes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the skippable matches are not super gristly.
If you got to sit down, you got to watch the whole thing. If that's a situation, it was worth it. It was worth it to get to those two matches tonight. And once again, I think those are two matches at the end of the year. They're really going to stand out, and we'll be talking about them for Match of the Year candidates.
Yeah, and I think we might end up having to do that for Viewer's Choice at the end of the year. Go back after, go see with everything we watched for the year, and maybe put our best and worst together.
And Tim, I have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
I keep meaning to do this and keep forgetting, but now I remember.
Oh.
So, question for you.
Wrestler brain ain't so bad today.
MVP of the show.
Oh, show MVP. It has to be Roman Reigns. Like,
agreed.
I could cheat and give it to the entire main event, but Roman Reigns continually proving why he's ahead of the table, proving why he's like the definitive. To me, he is the champion in the WWE. This title reign is finally getting the stink off of the Universal title to mm-hmm. me. A second to me, it goes to Pat McAfee.
Yes.
Pat McAfee is fantastic on commentary.
And he has brought out somehow the best in Michael Cole since we've had Cole and Taz.
Right. And I think it's because it allows Cole finally has somebody next to him that can give analysis in the ring and let Cole be the conductor. He had that with Corey Graves, but Corey sometimes does too much. And Pat McAfee is not doing too much.
Which is saying a lot for Pat McAfee.
Right. Like, he does a lot. He does quite a bunch, but he is very selective when he peppers in his doing too muchness.
Yes.
Whereas Corey Graves is very heavy handed with the salt. Pat McAfee's nice with it. He's like Salt Bae. Just really nice with it.
Yeah, with commentary seasons. For all the SmackDown matches tonight. Simply outstanding.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Good show overall. Watch what we said watch. Miss what we missed. We will be back with you in 2 weeks' time. Labor Day weekend, which is
Double
nice.
Double or Daddy.
Double or Daddy. AEW presents Double or Daddy live from Daly's Place, I think.
Yep.
It should be a fun card. We're looking forward to the main event of Kenny Omega versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy. More to be determined later. Really looking forward to that. I think we might be live together for that one. But since it is Labor Day weekend, I think we need to talk about our schedules and who has off and who doesn't have off and things mm-hmm. like that. As always, you can find that information about the podcast and what we go on. And if you have any follow-ups or feedback on us or with us on our opinion about this or any other pay-per-views we cover, hit us up on Twitter at VC on North South, or hit us up on email at viewerschoicepodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, interact with you guys. As well, leave comments. If you listen to us directly from the Podbean site, you can leave comments there as well. I know that we moderate those, so really looking forward to seeing what you all think of the pay-per-view as well. We, of course, are proud to be a part of the North-South Connection. NorthSouthConnection.podbean.com is your home for this and so many other podcasts. Also dropping later this week, same day as today, Now Entering the Rumble number 10. It is the second part of the Shawn Michaels podcast. Hey, I know it's your favorite topic. You love to hear it. Also, a new episode of TNA Never Dies coming to you on the 18th. So that'll be really fun as well. So many different things to get from the North-South Connection in different eras of wrestling as well. You mean from the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast to the year that was, to us, Wrestling Warzone, New Next Gen on a Mission, all of that stuff. Really spread the love and spread the timeline out a little bit on the podcast. So northsouthconnection.podbean.com is your home for that. You download, you subscribe to that podcast feed, you get all of these podcasts that come through, including ours. And we love to see that.
Love to see it.
If you enjoy what we do here, we do kind of long format on another podcast called Final Wrestling Place, where we take the nouns of professional wrestling, the persons, the places, the things, the ideas. We assign them arbitrary red points and green points and either put them in the good place or the bad place. And every season we have a theme. And this season has been graduation. We've been talking about some of the notable call-ups from developmental in the past and the present, and breaking down their rookie years. So far this season, we've talked about the Ascension and the Iconics. We've talked about Carlito and Eugene. And this episode, if you're listening to this, after this, you can go check out us over at Final Wrestling Place, where we break down Kofi Kingston and Sheamus. And it's going to be a very fun listen. I hope you guys enjoy that as well. But we're proud members of the Soon to Be Named Network as well. That's where you can find that podcast, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. A podcast network much like this one, a variety of podcasts for your listening pleasure. A shout out to our pod adjacent friends over at Odds with Wrestling, Three Count Thursday, Pod Van Dam, We Need Wrestling, The A Show. And if I'm not missing anything, am I missing anything?
Check me out, Camp Leapfrog on IWTV, Jerry's Internet Wrestling Emporium.
That's right.
You can do that over on Facebook, and you can also do that through the IWTV app. Use the promo code at odds for, a couple days off for free.
Not anymore. Still use the promo codes because they'll eventually come into play. Facebook.com/independent wrestling for Camp Leapfrog stuff. Independentwrestling.tv is your home for internet or online independent wrestling. They have live streams going on all the time, every week. It is definitely a bang for your buck that is equal to or better than the WWE Network. And we're not just saying that because we're in tight with the IWTV people. It really is a high quality, good place. If you love wrestling and you're looking for an alternative that isn't the WWE, independentwrestling.tv is your hookup. Check them out. Really, really solid stuff. With all that said, next time you'll hear us, we'll be talking about Double or Nothing with the AEW boys. So, for Marcus, I'm Tim. This has been Viewer's Choice.
The choice is yours.